Hei, Camillo her. Kort melding før vi starter dagens episode. Jeg ute med en helt ny åndelig podcast som heter Åndelige tanker med Camillo. Du finner mer informasjon om den hvis du går til camilloloken.no/gratis. Camilloloken.no/gratis. Der det også overraskelser til deg som fastlytter av mine podcaster.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hei og velkommen til en ny episode I Åndelig påfyll med Kim Arestende og Camillo Løken. Og I dag så vi så heldige å ha besøk av et medium fra Skottland som heter William Docherty. Ja. Welcome to you, William Docherty.
Well, thank you. Nice
you're,
to be here.
You're a medium?
Yes.
And you've been a medium and you practiced the mediumship for a long time?
Yes, about 30 years.
Ja, 30 år tenkte jeg det.
30 år, det lenge.
Ja, so long time.
Very long time, yes.
And then can you just explain how this started? How did you became a medium? What, did you were you born with it or did it just come to you at a certain age?
I was more, came to me at a certain age. Mm-hmm. I do believe that people are born with that ability or at least the ability to train to do it. But I was about 12 year old when I lost a family member. Mm-hmm. And I came in going to view the body as part of what we do, as part of our tradition. And I could see a silhouette or a shadow next to the coffin. Mm. But all the adults kept telling me that was my mind, but I knew there was something there. And then it didn't happen again until I was late teens, so about 15, 16. I have always had health issues with my back and my spine. And every time I used to get really sore, I used to see a nun coming down and she would sit round about me. And I got so used to it, it was normal to me. And then it was a few years later, I was at a spiritualist church. I arrived late, walked in the door, and the first thing the medium says is, your sister's with you. And I didn't even know I had a sister at that point. I had to go and ask my parents, and they told me that she died just before I was born. And because she died as a baby, the medium had told us that she was coming back in a pure form, which is a nun.
Kult. Det jo innmari spennende, da.
Ja, skal man ta det på norsk hvis du...
Ja. Det Billy fortalte var at han, når han var rundt 12 år gammel, så han en ånd I en begravelse. Og han fikk beskjed om at det bare var fantasien hans. Og det har vi jo sikkert hørt flere som opplevde at nei, nå fantaserer du. Og så noen år senere så opplevde han at en nonne kom til han, for han hadde litt problemer med ryggen og litt sånn sånne ting, og når hun kom så fikk han healing. Og enda litt senere så gikk han på en storseanse eller en plattformsdemonstrasjon av mediumskap da, hvor mediumet sier at du, jeg har søsteren din her, søsteren din kommer på besøk til deg. Og han sa nei, jeg har ikke noen søster, jeg har to brødre. Og mediumet gir Billy da beskjed om at han skal spørre mor si, og da får han vite at han hadde en søster som døde før han ble født. Mm. Og at nå har søsteren kommet tilbake som en ren form, og det var en nonne da. I was just translating some of the story you told.
Yeah, that your sister came to protect you as a nun.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Eller det veldig spennende.
And since then you start to work with as a medium, did you start to help people to connect with deceased?
Yes, we started in Scotland. The spiritual church is really strong.
The spiritual church, yes.
And we started going to this, in the area where I stayed, we had 5 different spiritualist churches. So we used to go 3 or 4 times a week and you got to know the mediums and you got to know, they were telling you about yourself and the things that was happening. And then in Scotland, you're invited what they call to a circle, a development circle.
Yeah.
But again, the churches turn out to be very cliquish. They're very their own groups.
Yeah.
And it was really hard to break into the groups.
You have to come into the groups. Yeah.
And I'm very loud and I don't keep my thoughts to myself. And I got invited into a group and from there we started to develop. And when we start working with spirit, we start with colours. Colours is our first step in towards how we work. Mm-hmm. And colours is what I use now all the time.
And that's very different from the Norwegian way of doing it.
Mm.
So I find it quite exciting and interesting to see how intuition and clairvoyance and mediumship can work with such different tools.
Mm.
And we still get the same results, right? We still get our departed loved ones through and delivered both evidence and messages.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that's very different from the Norwegian way of doing it and the Scottish way of doing it, is that you focus on the evidence while we focus on the message of the sitting. Our way of giving evidence is a lot shorter.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to go a lot faster, while in Scotland, they focus on mainly on the evidence, don't you?
Yes, yeah. Most people come for reading, they're desperate for the evidence.
Mm, they want to see that they this is my loved ones coming through.
Yes, yes. And I think like everywhere else in the world, you can be very regional. Yeah. So for example, in Scotland, we tend to use a lot of names.
Yeah.
But the names is also, it can be a catch. Because for example, if you go to Glasgow, everybody's got an Uncle James or Uncle Jimmy.
Yeah, it's common names. Yeah.
Very common names. So although we do use names, we try to find something else to link on.
To sort of prove that it's real, that someone is coming through.
Yes. And I use the colours for that because I have three guides, two that work really close to me. If you picture a bullseye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the centre. And then there's a guy, my guy's called Kay. And he's like a big Roman soldier. And I always know when I'm ready to work because I feel the pressure on my head as if he's pushing the helmet down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I won't work until I get that message from him. So even if I'm going to go on platform and or do a private reading, if I don't get that, then nothing is worth doing. Mm. And I will say to people, really sorry, it's not working today. Because again, various things can stop it from working. And then my second guide, she's my healer. Mm-hmm. And she walks around and she lets the spirits into that area where I can then communicate. And then my third guide, who I've never seen, I just know they're there. Then keeps everything that shouldn't be in, keeps it out.
The guardian,
yeah. The guardian, yes.
I'll just quickly translate, okay?
Yes.
Det han sier at han begynte å trene seg opp I mediumskap ved å gå til en spirituell kirke. De har egentlig fem stykker I Skottland. Og der kommer man inn I grupper, og så blir man trent I mediumskap. Og når han kobler seg på, så har han tre guider som hjelper han. Og det ene guiden som på en måte den som åpner opp hans evne til å connecte. Og da får han en sånn, det en romersk soldat, som han sier, for han føler han får presset en hjelm ned over hodet, og da vet han at nå jeg klar til å jobbe. Og så har han to andre. Den ene inviterer spirits inn I hans sirkel, så han kan få kontakt.
Mm.
Og den tredje guiden en som beskytter mot at uønskede energier ikke kommer inn da.
Yes. Ja.
Just explain what they were telling us.
When you speak about your guides, you have a completely different attitude towards them in Scotland. Because in Norway, you're often taught that guides, they are so special and so sacred. And a lot of people think of them as something beyond reach instead of someone that's actually your friend.
Yes, yeah. We are the opposite. We build a relationship with our guides.
Yes.
And I find that when you're first starting out, for example, if you go to a development circle for the first time, you're using everybody else's guides until you find your own or your own guide step forward. And that's why they say a lot of times some people just can't develop because they don't have the guides there to protect them.
Oh.
And yeah, I know loads of friends who would love to do this, but don't get the guides and don't get the connection. Huh. And it's only when I'm comfortable to do it is when the guides are ready and then I know I'm protected.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a difference on how we work.
Mm. It's very interesting.
Mm.
I Norge, nå tar jeg det litt på norsk her.
Yeah.
I Norge så har man ikke samme forhold til guidene. Jeg har litt sånn britisk eller litt sånn skotsk påvirkning, så jeg alltid opptatt av å bygge opp dette forholdet. Fordi at når du gjør det, så blir informasjonen sterkere. Og måten som de gjør det i Skottland da, kontra Norge, er at i starten så bruker du andre sine guider til beskyttelsen, til å få inn ånder, frem til din egen guide.
Viser seg,
ja. Ja, trer frem og viser seg. Og i Norge så er vi veldig opptatt av våre guider egentlig fra start av, at de skal være der, men vi har ikke samme måten å bygge forhold på. I was just telling the people who are listening about your story with the guides, because it's so different. Yeah. And you talk about color. You use color in your readings.
All the time, yes.
Yes. How does it work, and why do you do it?
When I was training, I always had a fascination for color. And it was always, I always loved the color blue. Blue was my color. But when I first spoke to a medium and he's like, avoid blue because it's not very good for you. And I was like, but that's my favorite. And he's like, your favorite doesn't mean it's good.
Okay.
Your favorite means it's a preference. And then what happens if I'm doing a platform, so if I'm standing on a platform looking out at 50 people, my guide will put a wee spark above a head and it's a color. And that then lets me know, for example, if it's a really bright color, then I'm going down the mother's side of the line. Oh. If it's a dark color, I'm going down father's side of the line. So
okay.
When the spirit steps forward, I know if it's mother's side or father's
side. So light
side.
Is mother and dark is father.
Yes.
Side of the family.
Yeah. So I have a spirit, a ribbons board. So it's basically knitting wool yarn, various strands of yarn.
On a stick?
On a stick.
Yeah.
If I'm doing a private reading, I'll get them to hold the stick and I get them to pick three colours. And once I take it back and I start touching the colours, I then start to pull in the spirits round about me.
The energy, yeah.
Yeah. And
it's fascinating.
Two people could actually pick the same colour, but I'll get two different meanings for it. And it's all about that intuition, what I feel at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I found a lot of time, I've been to churches and I've seen people doing psychometry. We'd actually use objects, either rings or jewellery or photographs. Yeah. The ribbons are quite similar because you're actually taking somebody's energy from an object.
Mm-hmm.
But then people have very strict meaning. So red means danger and blue means water. And I'm like, it doesn't work like that with me. So when spirit come forward, they will give me colours, but then it's up to me to interpret my feelings at that point.
Yeah. And you can have as much as up to 60 colours?
My big board was 60 colors, yeah. So
it's a lot. It's not just the seven colors in the chakra system. It's like many, many more.
Yes, yep. And the whole point is sometimes when you're working on platform or you've got somebody coming for a reading and they're for the recent passing, they're so desperate for a message. And what they actually do is they drain the medium. They drain your energy. So what give them the board means that they focus all that energy on the board and it allows me then to open up and get ready for the actual reading.
Yeah.
So because if you say to somebody, please don't come and expect something to happen, then there's no evidence in that. So in Scotland, we like the evidence.
Yes.
Whereas if I give them the board and get them to concentrate their energy on the board, it allows me then to do my job.
Mm. But is the way of working with colours is just specific for Scotland or other countries?
No, I picked it up from an American lady.
Oh, okay. Really?
She was across doing one of the big psychic fairs.
Yeah.
And she had a beautiful ribbons and it was silk ribbon she had. And it was absolutely, I watched her working and I thought, I see loads of colours. And I wonder if I can work with my guides to pull those colours into the ribbons.
So it's not a common thing in Scotland, it's just something that you do.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. But you see colours as well when you do platforms and readings.
Yes. I see. So I have one or two very specific colours that mean something. So, for example, if I see yellow round about somebody, it tells me where the pain is.
Mm.
I've seen me walking down the street and seeing somebody walking up with a yellow knee, and I think, oh, their knee's really sore. but that's my preference colour for being healing. Plus when we train new mediums, or when I used to do circles for training, we always got them to work with colours. And we used to give them the board and say, I want you just to pick a colour, just randomly pick a colour and tell me your thought.
Mm.
And you link your thought to the colour. And then eventually what happens is that becomes your way of reading your own intuition at that time. Cool. But yeah, I can switch it off now. I switched it off for a long time because okay. I had mental health issues and I had a load of things went wrong in my life and I switched things off.
Yeah.
And I stopped seeing colour. It's only over the last few years again that it's re-established itself slowly. And the colours, I can walk past people now and see colours. And sometimes it's really hard when you're standing and you're like, I really want to say something, but you know you can't. You don't want to invade somebody else's private space.
So, the same as Kimura, he also sees the aura colours all the time, you know? So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
He can't turn it off. You can't turn it off.
No, I can't turn it off at all. And as Billy says, it's really hard if you're standing like in a line for a grocery store and you see something and, you know, keeping quiet about it.
Yeah, you see someone with a color that might be indicate pain or something. You can't tell them.
No.
Because you're invading their privacy.
Yes. Yeah. You need to be respectful of other people as well. Because even though I know what I see, a lot of people don't believe in what I see. And I don't want to force something on people that they don't want or that they haven't asked for.
Yeah.
So it's about, you know, respecting people's boundaries as well.
The strange thing is when you say something before you realize you say it.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you'll congratulate somebody for it and then they'll go, why? Then you explain it, then they're like, what are you talking about? And then they phone you 2 days later and say, that happened. And you're like, right, okay. Sometimes, even we get confused. And I do a lot of studies. So I'm studying, I just qualified as in psychology. I got my honours degree in psychology in 2021. And I'm now doing a Bachelor of Science honours degree in sport and fitness psychology.
Okay.
And working with people who have sports injuries, I see loads of colours around about them. But sometimes when your life's really busy, we miss the blur or we get blurred and we say stuff and then we think, and people say, like, I don't know about that. And then it happens. And so then we're human at the end of the day. We are human. We make mistakes. But yeah, as I say, as Kim was saying, it's about respecting people's beliefs and privacy. I always say to people at the start a platform or a private reading, it's not my job to prove what's right or wrong. I can only give you what I can give you, and then you take that.
And you see what if it's harmonizing with you or not.
Yes.
Yeah. If it, does it feel right or does it not feel right?
Yes. Yeah. It's not up to the medium to prove.
No.
It's you have to look at what we give and if it's evidence for you. That's how it works.
And on platform, I think the biggest platform I did, there was 3,000 people in the auditorium.
Oh, wow.
It was a big charity do. There was mediums running for 12 hours. So you were doing 20 minutes and then you're coming off and getting a break. And then you were doing some private readings. And the private readings was all supporting a children's charity. And I can mind every time my guide, they went right to the back. And I mind saying, oh, come on, please. Get somebody closer. Because I used to get somebody to run up and give them the ribbons board so they could just hold the board and pick a colour. But yeah, as I say, I got to the point where when I went on the third time, nothing was happening. And it's about being honest.
Yes.
And it's about saying to people, I'm really sorry, I'm standing. I'm looking at the other mediums going, can somebody please take over? Because I'm getting nothing. For some reason, they've pulled back. And then I think the 10 minutes later, I was back on stage and it was working. And again, it's about building that rapport. Although you don't become friends with the people you read for, but you have to have an honest rapport with them.
Yes. You have to be honest, yeah. So when you don't get anything, you don't get anything. Don't get anything, and then you have to say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's very important.
Yes.
Det Billy sa er dette her med å være ærlig, at hvis det ikke funker, så funker det ikke, og da må man si at, nei, sorry, det funker ikke. Og på en måte ha en ærlig kommunikasjon med den du leser for, eller den som mottar.
Ja, og det han også har sagt, han bruker farver, da. Han bruker farver når han jobber, så han har hatt en sånn type pinne med opp til 60 farger på, en type garn som han surrer rundt pinnen, og så ber han da klienten om å velge en farge, og når den klienten velger den fargen, så får han en kobling som han kan jobbe ut fra, hva hans intuisjon snakker om rundt den fargen da.
Ja.
Og så når han på seanser og store plattformer, så han har hatt en plattform hvor det var 3,000 mennesker.
Det mange mennesker.
Ja, og da kommer guiden igjennom, og så ser han lys over hodene til eller en farve over hodene til klienten, og da vet han hvor han skal gå inn I salen.
Ja.
Just talking about how you work with colors and yes. how you see colors above the people's heads and you know how to sort of work from that. So just explaining that to the people listening.
yes. Det jo første gang vi har med oss en som snakker engelsk.
Ja.
Så jeg håper vi gjør en grei jobb med å oversette
ja,
litt.
Vi vet jo ikke om alle forstår alt som blir sagt, eller om noen ikke forstår noen ting, så vi velger å gjøre en kombi.
Ja.
Snakke litt engelsk og litt norsk.
Ja. When you work with people, when you do private readings, not big platforms, how many readings do you actually do, like in a day?
That's a good point. It depends. I never put a limit on it because sometimes a reading can be 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes a reading can be 2 hours, depending yeah. on what the person needs and what's coming through. When people used to book me, I always say, don't give me any more than 4 people. So we'll maybe start about 4 in the afternoon. And I've seen me still being there at midnight, still working because the spirits that are coming through.
Mm.
And until I learned to work with them, I used to just accept everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then, a reading could last 2 hours mm-hmm. and I would be so drained.
Yeah.
And then, so what I end up doing is I sort of come to this, if you want, an agreement with the guides that maybe one or two, once the person's latched on to what they need and I know that they're getting evidence, then we start to pull back. Because,
mm.
yeah, we'll talk about things that's going to happen. We'll talk about things that's happening around about them. We'll give them the proof of the people that's passed over.
Mm.
But you do get those people who want pages and pages of evidence.
Yeah.
And it's my guides now, the blocker. There comes a point where I just start to close down.
Yeah.
And what's really strange, because it's like watching a sunset, I just see the colour going and vanishing okay. behind the hills, and then I know it's time to bring it down.
No, yeah. Okay, nice.
And it's the same on platform, because I know I've only got a few minutes with each person.
Yes.
Mm. And what I do is the guys will only, because you get, to be honest, sometimes what happens is you get so much information
yeah.
and you're trying to sift through it to find something that's tangible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my guides will come in
yeah.
and they'll keep some spirits out that are not there. I'm trying to think of the word to use. They're not there to give the evidence.
Because
mm-hmm. Everybody can come in and say, I could say, oh, you have a great grandmother in spirit. Yeah, that's fine. But if they're not going to give me any more to prove the point, then mm-hmm. they're not worth... Not they're not worth my energy at that point.
Mm.
If you're doing platform, because sometimes we always aim, if I'm on for half an hour, we always aim to get 6 people within the half an hour.
Yeah.
Mm. Just enough to give them enough. But what sometimes happens is, if you watch me on platform, I always look back because I don't physically hear a voice, but I hear it in my head.
Yeah.
And he's right back there. Mm-hmm. And my biggest problem is when a child comes forward because they're low.
Yeah.
And it's not the first time I've actually got on my knees on platform and people are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, because I can't pick this child up. And it's like, yeah. But I think churches all over, I spoke to people in America and people, especially in Canada, I've got family in Canada who go to the spiritual church and they all work so different.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're really sort of, I mean, I know in England and Wales, there's a law that's used to be called the Witchcraft Act,
yes.
and they changed it to the Fraudulent Mediums Act in 1951 or something. And technically, you can't be charged under it unless the prosecutor or fiscal deems that you were being malicious yeah. with it.
Oh, yeah.
But when I talk to people from around the world who do different things in churches, some of them don't do prayers. Some of them don't base it on religion at all. It's so again, it's very, in Scotland, it's like a new religion
mm.
and they're following an old religion. So they're doing prayers, they're doing hymns, they're yeah. doing addresses. I don't know enough in life to stand up to preach to somebody. So I don't like doing addresses. And it's, yeah, I just think I'm there to do a job. I don't need all the fluffy bits around it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think the fluffy bits, which confuses people.
Mm. Yeah. 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 I get that. It sometimes can be a bit too much.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But you say you can absolutely. Ja, där blev det dessvärre ett.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby.
It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Brudd I sendingen. Dette her jo en episode som ble spilt inn for litt siden, og vi oppdaget ikke dette bruddet her før vi fikk tilbakemelding fra lytterne. Vi hadde da lastet allerede opp denne lydfila til den podcastplattformen vi bruker, som da nå ut til alle de stedene man kan lytte til vår podcast. Og vi hadde ikke merket noe, fordi jeg har jo laget podcaster nå hele siden mars 2020, både med Ånd og Vitenskap med Lilje og flere også med Kim Are. Og aldri opplevd at plutselig at en lydfil bare stopper halvveis, for det intervjuet var egentlig nesten dobbelt så langt. Men det stoppet etter 3-4 minutter. Og det en grunn til det, tror jeg, fordi det var veldig aktivitet I det huset vi benyttet da vi lagde denne podcasten. Vi leide et hus I Lillestrøm for å lage noen podcaster. Kim Are kom da dit sammen med William. Doherty, som da skulle ha et Norgesbesøk og som skulle være med Kim Are hjem etterpå, så han var gjest hos Kim Are. Og William, han har jo en høy aktivitet, han et medium, og når han kobler seg på, så har han veldig høy aktivitet, det samme har Kim Are. Og når man har sånn høy aktivitet, og det på en måte også aktivitet I det stedet man så kan det, kan det skje ting. Og det som skjedde var at vi, når vi lagde Etter at vi var, eller når vi begynte å lage disse podcastene, så satt jeg med ansiktet og så ut mot innkjørselen for huset. Og der var det en lyktestolpe med sånn fint utelys. Så jeg så den veien, og Kim Are så inn I stua. Der var det en ganske stor åpen stue med, for vi satt I en sånn karnapp ved siden av stua. Og da så han inn på stua med en sånn stor sånn lyskrone. Og når vi begynte å lage podcast, midt ute I podcasten her, så begynte utelyset å blinke noe helt frenetisk. Det slo seg av og på I hele tiden. Så jeg tenkte, jøss, det noe feil med ledningene til den stolpen her, liksom, så merkelig. Hvorfor skjer det her? Men så kort tid etterpå så ser jeg at Kim Are sperrer opp øynene, fordi han ser noe bak meg. Men jeg kan jo ikke snu meg og begynne å sjekke ut det, for vi midt I en podcastopptak. Så jeg tenker, ok, jeg får spørre om det etterpå da. For han ble, jeg så at han liksom plutselig fikk en stor øyne og tittet på noe bak meg. Og så viser det seg det at lysene I stue har også begynt å blinke helt frenetisk, samtidig som det utelyset begynte å blinke. Og I tillegg så forteller Kim at han så skikkelser som gikk gjennom huset. Så etterpå så gikk vi og tittet gjennom hele huset, og Kim sa at her aktivitet, og det ikke noe sånn, Det ikke noe sånn kjempehyggelig energi, men det var ikke, sånn, det var ikke noen slemme krefter, men det var bare at det var en uggen energi der. Og jeg vet jo fra før, når det elektrisk utstyr rundt aktivitet I hus og hjem, så kan det slå ut, og det kan påvirke det. Så her skjedde noe med utstyret og den lydfila, og det skjedde også med den andre episoden vi laget. Det skjedde akkurat likt på både den episoden med William Doherty og de andre episodene vi lagde. Så alle de fikk på en måte, det skjedde et eller annet som gjorde at den ikke ble fullført. På selve utstyret så det ut som om alt gikk helt normalt. Det var ikke noe varsel at det var noe feil. Men det skjedde altså. Når vi lastet opp denne filen som så normal ut, så viste det seg at han ikke var normal. Han var kuttet etter litt over 3 minutter. Det beklagelig, men essensen av dette intervjuet var jo det at William, han ser jo farger, og det sånn, det på den måten han bruker farver for å få kontakt med avdøde, så når han har en seanse og han står der foran mange mennesker og skal ha kontakt med avdøde, så ser han farver over disse menneskene som sitter I salen, og så hver enkelt farve har da en betydning som gjør om de klare til å ta imot en beskjed fra en avdøde eller ikke. Aldri møtt noen som har en sånn type evne, det var veldig spesielt og interessant. Så jeg håper også det, det var interessant for dere lytterne. Ja, vi vet at William har en veldig sterk skotsk aksang, så derfor stoppet vi innimellom for å oversette. Men det var litt sterkere aksang enn jeg hadde trodd, for jeg slet litt med å forstå alt det også. Ja, men uansett så, så ble det altså et brudd, men det, var, det har sin årsak. Det, vi mener begge at det har med den aktiviteten I det huset der vi var å gjøre. Så det beklagelig. Men da høres vi neste uke med en ny episode. Ha det bra!